Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Disheartened by the saying, the rich young ruler went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus did not try to stop him. Jesus did not chase him down so that he could apologize for being too hard on the young man. No excuse would be given that Jesus was tired and overstressed. There was no attempt to win the man back. He went away sorrowful after Jesus told him, "Sell all that you have and give to the poor, and come, follow me." Surely this man did not deserve such dramatic words from Jesus. The man was godly, having kept all of the commandments from his youth. And he was obviously doing well in his life. And many of the people, the disciples included, believed that such good will on this man shows that he had indeed been blessed by God and was under his favor. So why the harsh treatment from Jesus? If the man truly was on the right track, wouldn't Jesus tell him then, keep up the good work? And this is what Jesus did do at the beginning. He had answered in line with the other normal rabbis. You know the commandments. Keep doing them. This answer from Jesus, though, was not enough for the man. In his own mind, the man had kept all of the commandments from his youth. But sadly, he failed to understand the true depth of the corruption of his sin. As Paul Spiritus writes in our hymn of the day, verse 4, "From sin our flesh could not abstain. Sin held its sway unceasing. The task was useless and in vain. Our guilt was e'er increasing. None can remove sin's poisoned dart or purify our guileful heart. So deep is our corruption." Knowing this, Jesus did not answer the man then out of frustration or annoyance. Instead, the Greek text tells us that Jesus looked at the man, and yet not simply look at the man, but look into the man. Jesus read the man's heart and his soul like a book. He knew what was there inside, the thing that he lacked. The man was not willing to seek eternal life from the proper source. He was clinging to his wealth and his obedience as his entry into eternal life. Seeing this, knowing this, Jesus truly loved the man, wanted the best for him. Despite the man's great weakness of sin, Jesus loved him and sought to teach him that it was a false, misleading dream that God, his law, had given that sinners could themselves redeem and by their works gain heaven. Jesus gave him the solution. Do the impossible. Give up what is your true God and follow the only true God. In his words to the man, Jesus was not condemning the commandments. He was not condemning wealth. For the law of God is truly good in and of itself, and money is needed by all people to support this body and life. Rather, Jesus struck directly to the man's heart and to his soul. He scratched the man's itch of wanting to earn the inheritance of eternal life. That inheritance is not able to to be earned by any man. And inheritances themselves are never earned. They are given. But it was too much for the man. The work required of him for his own eternal life was too much for him to bear. He walked away, sorrowful. But do not feel bad for the man. The path of works and wealth that this man walked would only lead him to certain eternal destruction. Jesus gave him the solution, the answer: follow me. And maybe, just maybe, the man ultimately did follow Jesus. But Jesus' point has been made, however, to the man seeking salvation in the story, to the disciples gathered around, to the greater crowd of witnesses beholding the situation, to all the religious leaders back in Jerusalem, and to all who hear the word of God today. Eternal life is not earned. Salvation is not in the hands of man. Forgiveness does not come from within. Instead, Jesus is the source of it all. Jesus, the eternal God and Lord, graciously gives everlasting life as a gift to all who follow him by believing in him as Lord and Savior. Jesus, the Christ sent from God, is the only one who could win salvation for all mankind. By his suffering and death on the cross, he has done exactly that. He has taken the matter of salvation into his own hands, and he has won it for you. Jesus Christ, the true Lamb of God, is the only one who could take away the sin of the world. Only through the shedding of his blood could the forgiveness of sins be given. And Jesus' blood shed upon the cross is enough, and more than enough, to give the forgiveness of sins to all. Because he loved the man, Jesus spoke the words that ultimately drove him away. But he did not take them back. Thanks be to God, because they are the words of eternal life. Out of his love for us, Almighty God makes it clear to us that we are too sinners. We are to despair of our sin and flee from ourselves. The law reveals the guilt of sin and makes us conscience-stricken. Hence the words from Amos the prophet to the people of Israel. Before calling them to repentance, he announced to them their sin. And no doubt made many of those people very angry, so that they too went away sorrowful and not willing to hear Amos anymore. But it also drove others to despair of themselves, the God-pleasing intent of his law, that they might flee from themselves and cling to the promises of God for their salvation. Christ came, and God's anger stilled, our human nature sharing. He has for us the law obeyed, and thus the Father's vengeance stayed, which over us impended. When faced with the hard word of God's law, we are in the same position as the man in today's gospel text, and two results will follow. One of them will rise to the surface. Flee the Savior and cling to yourself, as the man did, or flee yourself and cling to the Savior. That is what Jesus is, the Savior. He is not the average, ordinary rabbi, as all others around him had surmised. He is not simply a good man, as many want to call him. Jesus is the only one who is truly good. Good itself. Jesus is God who gave up all to make us his own. His law must be spoken so that this truth of Jesus can be believed, valued, cherished. That is the love Jesus had for the man. That is the love Jesus has for us. He wants us and all people to be with him forever. He wants all to trust in him alone for salvation. And that salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. Amen. Since Christ has full atonement made and brought to us salvation, each Christian therefore may be glad and build on this foundation. Your grace alone, dear Lord, I plead. Your death is now my life indeed, for you have paid my ransom. Your blessed name we hallow. Amen.